Praise God, and always feel grateful to be here and share God's words with you. And this morning, and my wife is back from Taiwan, and she's in the translation today, this morning. So, you know, my wife is in Taiwan for several weeks. I really feel that the team works is really important. And not only your spouse, and I always feel that our brother and sister, it's so important. And I also has a, I have done a press report several weeks ago, and my in-law, and they have been much, much better. And just praise God for his healing and his wonderful power in our life. Thank you. Thank you for your prayer. Thank you. So I appreciate you. I appreciate the teamworks that we have. That we have a great teamworks in our church, RPC. I've been here for several years. I have seen so many wonderful testimony and through our prayer, corporate prayers. So so if you have a prayer request, please don't hesitate that we can pray together. It's so powerful. It's so anointing that from God and from Holy Spirit helping us in every detail of our life. Praise God. Amen. So this morning, I want to share with you, continue our regifting series. This morning, I want to share you the topic, evangelist. Share our gospel with our neighbors, our friends, our coworkers, and many, many, many others. Also in our communities. And in Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 13, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Amen. And this morning, a portion of scripture I will be sharing is in the book of Luke, chapter 19, 1 through 10. And you can look at the screen, or you can open the Bible, the public Bible in front of you. And I will be sharing from the Message Bible, the version. And if you have NIV, that's okay. If you have other version, you're welcome to read from your version too. From 1 through 4. Then Jesus entered and walked through Jericho. There was a man there, his name Zacchaeus. Am I pronouncing right? Zacchaeus. And the head tax man and cried rich. He wanted desperately to see Jesus, but the crowd was in his way. He was a short man and couldn't see over the crowd. So he ran on ahead, climbed up in the sycamore tree. He could see Jesus when he came by. When Jesus got to the tree, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, hurry down. Today is my day to be a guest in your home." Zacchaeus scrambled out of the tree, hardly believing his good luck, delighted to take Jesus home with him. Everyone who saw the incident was indignant and grumped. "What business does he have getting cozy with this crook?" Crook. So this is not, I don't think this is a fine word. So he's a crook, okay? So Zacchaeus just stood there a little stunned. He stammered apologetically, "Master, I give away half my income to the poor, and if I'm caught cheating, I pay four times the damages." Jesus said, "Today is salvation day in this home. Here he is, Zacchaeus, son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to find and restore the lost." Jesus Christ, thank you for saving us. And you also use us to save many. Thank you, Holy Spirit, to touch each of us heart. Thank you. May you help us to be your vessel, to touch many in our community. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. So here we go, Zacchaeus. He's the man. He's not a usual Jewish citizen. He's the tax collector. You know, at that time, the tax collector, as we read the scripture, he's the crook. Jewish people doesn't like him at all. You know why? Many of you may have already known the background. The tax collector collect their own people's money to whom? To the Roman government. You know, Roman government is considered Gentile and pagan before Jewish people's eyes. So they don't like them at all. And those tax collectors are the people who collect their own people's money to the pagans instead of collect the money to God's house. So you can see at that time, tax collector is labeled traitors. Wow, traitors. So every Jewish people look down upon tax collector. And it happened like Zacchaeus is the head, is the guy, the man who collect the tax. Every tax goes to him. So he has all the money, and he enjoy all the money, and he probably enjoy the popularity for some times. So he's so popular among Jewish people, but he was so looked down upon. He's not very a good man, you may say. So people don't like him at all. So he doesn't have good reputation, and Jewish people hated him. And his behavior at that time is extremely unlawful, extremely unpopular. And regarding tax collecting, Jesus was once asked by the Pharisees if he would pay tax to Caesar. Caesar means Roman government. Because Jewish people hate paying tax to the Roman government. And Jesus was tempted, remember? And Jesus, would you please pay tax? If Jesus answered, yes, I will pay tax, and the Jewish people would condemn him. But if Jesus answered, no, I would not pay tax, he may be arrested by the Roman government. But Jesus weightily answered them, give it to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. In Mark 12:17. In this incident, we see how Jewish people hated having anything to do with the Roman government. Of course, they consider Roman government as Gentile and pagans. So you can imagine, Zacchaeus was the worst of all in the Jewish society. On the other aspect, for the rich people to believe in God, Jesus once told his disciples, I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Matthew 19:23-24. In other words, it is hard for Zacchaeus to believe in God. So the head tax collector Zacchaeus came to see who Jesus is. I call this a miracle. Because from the behavior of his, we can see he desperately wanted to see Jesus. He must have a desperate need. In verse 3, he says, the crowd was in his way. He was a short man and couldn't see over the crowd. So he ran on ahead, climbed up in the sycamore tree. He could see Jesus who he came by, when he came by. Praise God for who he is. God is the one who changes lives. He is the one who brought his people to his presence. He is the one who initiated the desperate needs for his people to come to him. In the worldly point of view, bad things must be bad. And for Christian, God often allows bad things to happen, and he can turn the bad things into the good things. Amen? So God can change things around for our own good, even for our eternal benefit. Zacchaeus might have been a bad person, have done bad things, but praise God, he drew Zacchaeus to his presence by changing his heart in an amazing way. And I grew up in a Christian family, and I always felt I am a good person, because I haven't done a bad things from my point of view, from my standard. So as I share with you, when I was in the elementary school and I accidentally ate something has been offered to idol, and I just knew that after I ate it. So I feel panic, and I just feel that I supposed to be holy. So I was not supposed to eat something offered to idol. So I had a good teaching in my mind. So I follow the rules. I follow all the laws that the pastor and the teachers, the Sunday school teacher gave it to me. So I always felt that I am a good person. I'm a good Christian. But I knew deep down in my heart, I cannot help but doing something bad. For example, lie when I was young. So I, step by step, I know that by my own strength, by following the rules, cannot make myself to be a good Christian. And I realized that. So when I immigrated to Canada, and God brought me a situation that I feel myself humble, lonely, and helpless in my own life. And he brought me closer to him. But I just felt that it's a miracle to bring a Christian-grown, proud kid, to come back to Jesus only by his anointing and his working in my heart. And at that time, I remember I went to a winter's camp at the end of year 1993. That was probably around somewhere in Mission, B.C., and I heard the preacher told us her story. It's a doctor, her, is she. So she told us a story about her son, that her son was not able to call her mama. When the son grew up to 10-year-old boy, the 10-year-old boy still couldn't call her mama. She felt very anxious. She felt very worried. What's wrong with my son? And she was a Christian, but she has been away from God, from Jesus, for a long while. And that happened to her and her son, 10 years old. And she tried many ways. She had her son look at her. She say, Mama. And her son just couldn't pronounce the right thing. Say, Ma. And then many times that she look at the mirror, that she make sure that she pronounced right things to her son. So she tried many years, and she failed. She tried, she failed. And remember, she has been a Christian for a while, but her heart just away from Jesus for kind of far. And then finally, she on her knees. She was on her knees with her husband. She said, "God, what happened to my son? What happened to me? My son wouldn't call me mama. And he is life. And he's 10 years old. He's pretty much know to say something. But she couldn't call me mom. And I was so hurting inside of me. God, please help me." And one day, when she's still praying with her husband, and she heard a voice from God. God told her how desperately you have been waiting for your son to call you mama. It's how much I have always been waiting for you to call me papa. Of course, that voice bring her many tears. That voice convicted her so much, and she ran back to the Father. She ran back to Jesus. That voice dramatically changed her life. Of course, later, God opened her son's mouth, calling her mama. And later, God was calling her to testify him all over the place. And she became a preacher, testify God in many places. And that's why her testimony touched me so much. My life was dramatically changed by her testimony. Praise God. And at that time, it just happened. I was talking right now, it's at the camp. So at the same time, I don't know, you know, God sometimes has a sense of humor. Say amen. Sometimes God has a sense of humor. You know, to grow up as a Christian, proud kids, what I lack is the humbleness, is the yieldedness to Jesus. Of course, I need love. I need the love outpour from God to myself, and that I could be God's testimony. And I know deep down in my heart, I don't have love. I have so much judgment to people because I feel I am a good Christian. So I always wanted to judge people. I say, oh no, that's bad person, that's bad kids, that's bad things, that's bad behavior. But I mean myself that inside of me, I know that I need Jesus' love, Jesus' touch in my heart. And it just happened that there was a group of young people, high school students, that their behavior was so, allow me to say that, their behavior was so inappropriate. And the whole camp, about 120 people. And then that group of people has about 7 to 8 people. You know, some of the people invite them to the camp. And so nobody want to be their group leader. You know what happened? You probably already know what happened. And the church says, hey, Stephen, do you want to be their group leader? I say, yes. I just feel like I have no choice. Somehow, some way, you know, I don't think I have that kind of anointing to just help those kids because they were so great. So after I decided to go to their room and talk to them, I regret it because their pillow all over the place, and they spit on each other and almost spit at me. And I say, Lord, it's not me. And the Lord confirmed with me, say, it is you, Stephen. You are the best one I chose to minister to them. Do you know that? And you feel that you are a good Christian, go and minister to them. I say, really? I don't feel like I'm a good Christian. Please don't assign me this tough job. So I just went to their room and talked to them. Of course, you know how their reaction to me. They say, no, Jesus. What are you talking about? You know, we don't want to hear anything you want to say. No, don't say it. Just talk to us. I say, okay, I stop sharing about the Bible, about Jesus, about God. Okay, just talk to you. And so I spend time talking to them, and they get to know me and myself. And, that was, in the beginning, that was a disaster. Because then I went to my own room and prayed, Jesus, what can I do? What should I say to them? And, what God told me. God said, don't prepare anything. Just say whatever in your heart. And just say good thing about them. Just encourage them. Just loving them. Just do the way I love you. And just don't talk about Bible yet. And just loving them. And listen to them. Just pay attention to what they say and what they want to say. Even though it might not be appropriate in your own eyes, but it's appropriate in my eyes. I say, okay, it's not holy, Lord. It's not holy. Whatever they say, it's bring me unholy, because whatever they say affect my spirit. And God said, don't worry about that. You just be there and just be there with them. And they appreciate who I am, not who you are. I say, Lord, no, you use me, right? God say, no, yeah, I use you, but just be the vessel of me. Be my presence over there with them. So, miracle happened. So somehow, God touched their heart. When I talked to them, I don't know how long, I talked to them every night before they sleep. The whole bunch of guys, I go to their room and talk to them for 1 hour, 2 hours. And they talk to me about their parents' divorce in their things happen in their life, and they have tears and stuff. They start sharing their lives. And God start touching their heart. And they even asked me to pray for them. At the end of the camp, they testify God's love in their life. And they were very touched. Hallelujah. That was a miraculous touch. That was the first time I felt I did not have anything to give. But God poured out his love for his children miraculously. That was the first time I thought I have something to give. But God told me, you don't have anything to give. I am the one who outpour my love to my people. I am the one who pour my grace to my people. So those young people was changed, was touched by God miraculously. When I felt I did not have anything to give, to offer to them. Praise God. Praise God. So I believe that the same love that changed those young people's life changed Zacchaeus' life. Zacchaeus desperately wanted to see Jesus. He was looking for something probably himself cannot explain. He was hungry for the love and peace beyond he has been looking for. Beyond who he has been, beyond what he has obtained tangibly in his everyday life. He has not been satisfied. He has not found a purpose for life. He has not found anyone who can tell him who he is, what he is looking for, and how he can become. He must have heard about Jesus but did not get a chance to meet him. But deep down in his heart, he wanted to meet Jesus to find answers for life. Praise God for the preparation of Zacchaeus' heart. God has his own special timing for everyone. Amen. God has his own special timing for you and for me. Amen. Brother and sister, maybe you have been praying for someone you know or your dear one to your heart. Maybe this person is your husband, your wife, your children, or your neighbors. You have been praying and praying a lot while. Nothing has changed. You may have felt disappointed or you even wanted to give up. When we see here, Zacchaeus ran to see Jesus. He ran purposely. He ran with unsatisfied heart. He ran with a desire to be filled. He could be the representation of our dear one today. May God change their heart, change their mind. They would run to Jesus. They would want to seek the purpose of their life. They would want to know Christ deep down in their heart. Let's not be disappointed, discouraged. Let's keep praying together. God will continue doing his miraculous work in people's heart. People will desperately come to Christ with amazing desire, run to him and praising him. Let me tell you a story about a missionary. This missionary is minister in a remote country. He carried with him many, many gospel tracts. He usually liked to distribute to people when sharing about Christ. One day, as usual, when he distributed this tract to a man, and this missionary looked at this man saying, "Jesus loves you." This man looked back at him with a contempt attitude and fiercely tear the tracts apart. I will pick it up. So where I was at? Okay, so this man, very angry at him, remember? And he is fiercely torn the paper into pieces, yelling at the missionary, "I don't need this. Don't even try to talk to me anything." The missionary looked at him with compassion. Tears was rolling down his face and slowly walked away. Many years later, this missionary was very ill, almost to death. When he was lying on the hospital bed, and a man came to see him and pray for him. You probably already guessed who this man was, right? And the missionary opened his eyes, asked, "Who are you?" The man answered, "I'm the man who yelled at you and torn the paper into pieces when you shared the gospel with me on the street many years ago. And I was very angry at you. But when I saw your tears and looked at me with passion and love, deep down, it truly touched my heart. When you walk away, I pick up those broken pieces." And I pick up those broken pieces and put them together. And when I read the paper, and I gave my life to Jesus. And I pray to Jesus, "If you are real and you are like this man and you love me this much, I want to accept you as my Savior and my Lord." From that day on, I became a Christian and looking for you everywhere and really want to find you and tell you how Jesus has changed my life. Several years ago, I heard from a Christian friend. Several days ago, I heard from a Christian friend, a certain missionary is very ill in a hospital, and I was curious to come and see if it was you. I wanted to pray for you. I was hoping to see you again in my life, and here I am. I am so glad I finally find you. Please, please forgive me. And tears rolling down his face. And the missionary used his weak strength to grab this man's hand with tears and said back to the man, yes, I do forgive you. And this missionary was then passed into the Lord's presence. And this man then became missionary, continue sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ everywhere. Praise Jesus. Amen. Friends and brother and sister, God changed heart. And only God can do a miraculous work in you and in me. Please don't feel discouraged, even give up. Pray that Jesus will touch their heart as he touched Zacchaeus' heart and your heart. When Jesus walked closely, can we turn to verse 5, please? When Jesus walked close to the tree, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, hurry down. Today is my day to be a guest in your home. Zacchaeus scrambled out of the tree, hardly believing his good luck, delighted to take Jesus home with him. Everyone who saw the incident was indignant and grumped. What business does he have getting cozy with this crook? Zacchaeus just stood there a little stunned. He stammered apologetically, Master, I give away half my income to the poor, and I am caught cheating. I pay four times the damages. Jesus said, today is salvation day in this home. Here he is, Zacchaeus, son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to find and restore the lost. Amen. Jesus came to find and restore the lost. I like what the verse 9 and 10 says. Jesus said, today is salvation day in this home. Here he is, Zacchaeus, son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to find and restore the lost. This is a powerful statement. Anyone claim in Jesus' name is the son and daughter of God in his kingdom. People may have different ideas about this man. People call him crook, but Jesus called him the son of Abraham. When we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. He loved us not because who we are and what we have done, but because of who he is and what he has done for us. Amen and amen. The amazing grace says, once I was lost, but now I am found. Amen. Can we please put our friend's name and our relative's name in the blank of this verse? And let's read them together. Just think about a person, or you may think about two people, that's okay. Just think about a person, maybe one person, and you fill in to the blank right now. And we read this together, and we take this as our prayer today, and also as the prayer of 2016. Okay, let's read them together. Jesus said, today is salvation day in this home. Here he is, someone, son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to find and restore the lost. Amen. Amen. Glory to him and to him alone forever and ever. Dear friends, maybe you have come to the point of no way out. You may say dead ends. Maybe you are bound with certain things that you need peace in your life. You feel rejected somehow by your friends or even by your family. You feel very disappointed, or you may feel hurt. Today is the day our Lord Jesus Christ is calling you to his presence and to his kingdom. He's not looking at Zacchaeus as how others see him. He looked at him with such compassion and love. He called him the son of Abraham, the son of God. We may not look worthy in people's eyes, but we are so cherished and worthy in Jesus' eyes. Today, his calling is upon you. Would you respond his calling by saying, Jesus, thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for taking me in your kingdom, taking my hands right now. Everyone, would you please bow your heads and close your eyes? This is a really crucial moment for many of you that maybe this is the first time for you to make this decision, and maybe God this morning touch your heart that it's knocked on your door saying, would you allow me to come into your life? And I want to save you. I want to change your life as I change Zacchaeus' life. Maybe you may feel hurt. You may feel deep down in your heart, you want to find a home. And God's calling you, and this is your home. And just feel safe, and I'm with you. I'm with you every step of your life. If you have this special calling, and you feel that God is calling you this morning into his presence, and God's love wants to fill you, and God wants to change your life. If you are this person, and would you slip up your hands, and I can see, and we will pray for you. Anyone this morning you feel, okay, thank you. Thank you. So once you slip up your hand, you can just put it down. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Anybody else up on the balcony? Okay, thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, thank you. Thank you. Okay. Anybody else in the balcony? Okay, thank you. All right, let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Many of our friends that hear and they make the decision for the first time, that please help them. Help them feel that this is their home, that they can start having a relationship with you and talking to you. They feel the protection from you, that please fill their life with your amazing grace, your love, and open their heart and help them to know that you are always with them. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And for brothers and sisters, and also want to challenge you that we are once sinner, but now we are found. Jesus wants to continue this journey, ministry journey, to entrusting his heart for us, to have a heart of evangelist, to share his love to our community, to many people. So would you respond? Respond his calling to God. Say, Lord Jesus, I want to respond your calling to be the evangelist that you call me to be. It might not be going to out of country. It may be just in our neighborhood, sharing God's love, sharing his heart to many people. Maybe our neighbor is just like Zacchaeus, but God is saying that, please look at people from my eyes, that how cherishable they are in my heart and in my eyes. So if you have this, feel God's touching you, and you can please just by slip up your hands real quick that we can pray for you together. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Thank you.